Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us this morning. Lord, just to feel your presence come down and meet with us means so much to us, Lord. God, to know that we don't worship some false deity, but we worship the true living God who is alive, who answers back when your people cry out to you. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings in this way. Ask God that you come this morning and speak to our hearts. Lord, that it be as you have said in your word, that we would live by the word of God. Lord, that your promises that you've sent, that we would be able to receive them and contain them. Lord, you said that you would bless us in ways that we couldn't contain it all. Lord, I suppose, Lord, that this means that we would have it in such abundance that we'd have to go and share it with others. We ask, God, that you would do that this morning. Just come and speak to our hearts and fill us, Lord, with your goodness. Bless everyone that's present now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The musicians, go ahead and be seated. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. God, it's good to us. Sometimes, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on Communion Sunday, but sometimes when the presence of the Lord comes in, the flesh kind of gets pretty weak sometimes. Sometimes, you know, when the Lord comes in, it's really hard to talk or whatever, you know. But we thank Him for His presence and helping us and being with us as a group of people that worship Him and love Him. And so we just want to give Him 3 minutes this morning. I wanted to greet you all for Brother and Sister Miller. Spent a few hours with him yesterday and visiting and fellowshipping, and Brother Miller just looks really good. He's really got a lot more strength about him, and we just want to keep praying that the Lord would just bring a totally complete restoration to our brother. That's what we're believing for. I told Brother Miller, I said, I plan on being on another missions trip weekend. I plan on going to the mission field with him again. And he said that he said I would count that a great honor. And so we're just going to keep moving that direction. I don't know if it's something that's going to be long and slow progress, or maybe the Lord will just one of these days will kick right in. But we're still believing that God will do a great thing there. He's already done wonders, but we want to, as we're believing for a complete restoration. You know, if God could take, you know, someone that's actually died and gone on, and he resurrects them. Resurrection is not replacement. It's not a change of a different one. It's the same one that's come up. And so if he can take something like that and bring a complete restoration, then certainly he can do that for our brother in his body. Mm-hmm. And so God is the creator of our bodies, and he certainly can speak and cause him to come back in line. So God has a purpose. But we want to continue to pray for Brother Miller and Sister Miller. It's been a lot on her. We can't imagine what all that's on her. Just in our time of fellowshipping, I can't tell you how many times she had to do things that are required, whether it's stretching and massaging, and I don't know how many times she brought him medicines and things like that to take, but I'm sure it is. She's probably put 10 years of life on her body just in the last year, and so we want to remember her also. And so anyway, you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, trust that you do. We want to open to the book of Acts. Chapter 7. The thing about the Passion Play we would like to do, we've got a lot of people among us that haven't been able to go to that before. And for those that work on on Friday, it'd be real hard to get there on Friday night. We have it on Saturday night. It's going to be a late night for people coming back for services the next morning, which is probably what we're going to do anyway. We're probably leaning in that direction, but we really need to know from each family what you can do, or what, you know, we need to try and see what with a consensus or what date that we can do this. We would like to make sure, especially our young people, get to go see that. And so I just ask that you would now let us know. We'd like to plan this and have it probably planned out pretty quick, and so so we could make it happen within the next couple of weeks or so. So I know it's too early to have it next week, but maybe perhaps the weekend after that, or maybe the weekend after that. But we just need to, we need to do something on the planning on that. So please let us know. Acts chapter 7, let's begin reading at verse 44. Stephen speaking, he says, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed," speaking unto Moses, "that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came in after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things?" Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 10, "For he looked for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God." I want to speak this morning on "What house will you build me?" I'd like to bow our hearts one more time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask God for your blessings upon this word, the reading of your word. We ask, Lord, for your blessings upon the thoughts that you've given, Lord, and the thoughts that you will bring. We think of Brother Daniel's prayer at the beginning that, Lord, we would have liberty in worship and in singing and ministry this morning. We know that your word says that where your spirit is, there is liberty.
Yes.
We ask God that you would come and orchestrate this morning's service, what would be said, and even how it is to be received, even in the hearts of your people, even in the midst of your people, and cause them to hear what you would have them to hear this morning. And Lord, cause me to speak it in the way you would have me to speak it. We ask, Lord, that you would be in your body this morning, and edifying and bringing them to a closer walk with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say, you can be seated. I want to say it's good to have Brother Meshach with us again this morning. God bless you, brother. Have Brother Brian Melton with us. Have him with us again. And the rest of you. You know, God don't have any cracks in His. You've heard somebody falling through the cracks or whatever. God doesn't have any cracks in His floors. He remembers each one of you, and He doesn't miss one. He always accounts for you. So we thank Him for His blessings, and know that He's kept every one of us all the days of our life. He's fed every one of us all the days of our life.
Right.
We don't have to worry about questioning that. And so He'll take care of us the rest of the days of our life, too. He'll move us on where He wants us to be. As Brother Daniel was mentioning earlier, you know, I believe God has more for us. I've been telling you that. I do believe that. I believe God has a lot more for us. And, you know, we all, every one of us, have it within us to become mechanical in our worship and mechanical in our coming to church. When I mean mechanical, you've heard, I think, Brother Branham used the phrase, a stuffed shirt. And I don't know that he ever described what he really means, but what that means to me is if you have a stuffed shirt, it might fill out the physical form of the shirt just fine, but if there's not a living person behind there, it's not really much you can get from it.
Right.
And so a stuffed shirt would be that way. We all have abilities in us, in our flesh. That's just the way it is to become mechanical in our worship and become mechanical in coming to the house of God. But we don't want to be that way.
Right.
That's just all there is to it. That's, and I know, you know, maybe you get tired of hearing it. I say it in different ways, but, you know, we want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I know Brother Branham said Christians are rugged.
Right.
And if we ever lived in a time where we need to be rugged, right now is that time. We need to be rugged and stand for things and just stand with backbone and yet with sweetness and kindness, because Satan's bold. He is. He's bold. He don't mind just plastering his gospel everywhere and pushing it over on you. And so I know God has people that that are overcomers. They are, Brother Ram said, one in a million. We know that each one of us are already overcomers, just to even be here now in the physical. We won the race over a million other just that would be just like us. We won that, and so we're already overcomers.
Right.
We sure want to be overcomers in this hour. God's always had overcomers. It's not something we're going to do in ourselves, but it's something that God will do in us, and so we want to just always look to Him and realize, as we heard earlier on in the service, it's always Him. And so we want to get into the ministry of the Word now this morning, ask God that He would bless our hearts with it. What house will you build me? You know, saints, you pull. You pull on the Word of God.
Right.
All right? What are we here for?
Right.
We're here fighting a spiritual battle.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, Brother Branham said in a last sermon he preached to us, he said, you know, the days are coming when it's going to be like it was with Ananias and Sapphira again.
Yeah.
We know that. And he went to go on in his conversation, and he stopped, and he came back to that, and he said, you just remember, that's the way it's going to be that way. And so we want to be genuine. We want to be here, and we want to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
We want to look at our brothers and sisters all around the room, and we want to remember that they're fighting the same battle we are.
Right.
And let's help them.
Amen.
Let's join together and fight this fight together. And you pull on the Word. If you're here to be fed, then you pull on it and be fed.
Amen.
Okay? And so put it beyond your thinking, a man. To appear in church this morning and be what we should be in the house of God this morning, each one of us, whether it's me or you, you've got to put yourself to the side, you've got to put the minister to the side, and then you've got to let the Holy Ghost come in you and receive and play your part, just like I have to let Him come in me and play my part, right? So we have to do that. I mean, if we don't learn to do that, then we're going to be fighting all the time and struggling in ourselves about things. We want liberty and freedom in the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we want to come and just ask God to be merciful to us in our weakest state of the flesh that we are, and yet pull on the promises of what He has for us and what He promised He will give us. And so what house will you build me? Throughout the ages, men, people, from way back to the beginning, have built houses, built homes to live in, or houses to live in. No matter where you go, you can go all the way down into Africa or way off in the mountains of Brazil or somewhere like that, you'll find that all peoples everywhere, they have built buildings, little huts and things they put together, or fine mansions or whatever. But it's just something that man does. They build houses to live in because it's a part of life. It's a part of a key of life. We have to have places to protect us from the element. We have to have a place. We have a desire for a place that we can construct, and then we can get into that place and we can find rest in that place.
Right.
And so but that's the works of a man's hand, to build a house and to enter into that and shut the door, lock the door, whatever you do, but you can rest at night. It's kind of a place of safety. And so it's a big key thing of life for someone to build a house, and it's been done throughout the ages. Now, when a man comes
and he's going to build a house for his family to live in. You'll find out that it speaks of his desire. There's a lot of things it speaks of, but you know, when a person is going to build a house, they have to pick a location.
Right.
They pick a spot, pick a land, pick a town, whatever. But when he chooses, when you look out and you see someone beginning to build a house, and you know that's what he's doing, then the fact that he's chosen that place automatically speaks of an intention and a desire in his heart, an acceptance of that location, an acceptance of where he is and what he's about to do. And so his desires to live in that location, you can see that. You can see that very clearly. And so that speaks of that. And then to me, it speaks of his commitment to that community. And the reason why I say this is because if we have a little small town and we've got a gas station, a grocery store, and different things there, and we see someone come in and buy a piece of land and he begins to build a house there, then you know, you might as well get used to it. He's going to come buy gas at your gas station. He's going to come buy groceries at your grocery store. And so you automatically know that he's making a commitment, because he's putting an investment in that house. He's making a commitment to that in that community, the people in that community, the neighbors. Might as well get ready to say, this man's going to be my neighbor.
Right.
I remember when I bought our property out there where we're at, it was all trees and grown up, and just thick woods. And I was crawling around through the briars and everything else, measuring, first morning out there, measuring, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And my neighbor, who's passed on now, John Seabolt, he was out doing something other, and he happened to notice me over there. There was a barbed wire fence between me and him, and he seen me over there. And I seen him coming, climbing through that fence, you know, and he come over there, and he said, howdy, neighbor. He said, I guess that's you're my neighbor. You know, he knew.
Right.
I might as well get ready. This guy's, you know, he's going to be my neighbor. So he just said, howdy, neighbor. You know, and so he was. He was a good neighbor. And so, like I said, he passed on. But, you know, when a man begins to build and place investments because it's costly, then there's a commitment that's there.
Right.
A commitment to a lot of things. You can see that he has an intention. You can see that if he's done his homework, he's surveyed the situation, and he feels comfortable with choosing this site and to hang his hat at this location and to put an investment into this location. And so he's looked at the people around, he's looked at the situation, and he's accepting of this. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And so so this has been going on through ages. People would build houses, and it's for a desire that they have. When they build a house, it's to serve a purpose that they have.
Right.
And so so you can look at that house and you can see a lot of things there if you just look behind the scenes. So a man, when he goes to build a house, obviously he designs it. He thinks about it in his mind, and maybe him and his wife sit down at a table somewhere and they kind of sketch up a notebook paper or whatever. It's been done thousands of times. That's the way it starts. And so I know we have professional builders now, but I'm just saying, you know, that's the way it works. It has to be. What am I getting at? It's thoughts first.
Right.
And those thoughts, finally, you know, they might be put on paper, but it's those things that are transferred into physical materials, physical expressions that stand for a long time. But at one time, it was just a thought.
Yep.
At one time, it was just a desire. But you find out that when a man sits down to build a house, he has to design it. And he designs it to suit his purpose. Whatever it is he needs, whatever his family needs, he will design it to be that way. So you can kind of see a little bit of what his needs or his desires are when you look at his house. You see the purpose that it's going to be fulfilling. Now, I was back maybe the week before communion. The Lord had kind of dealt with me on this. What house will you build me in? Of course, you just have to wait for him to tell you to go ahead with it. But we have a guy at work this week that this last week is retired, Richard Wood. And I kind of talked to him a little bit. He's moving down toward the Dallas-Fort Worth area, just not quite into Dallas. And he showed me pictures of the place where he had a house built. And he told me, he said, you know, 10 years ago I met a person down there, and we went there, and we liked this place and visited. And so he was going to tell me, you know, what I'm sharing with you. He found this location, he liked the location, he liked the conveniences that it had, distance from the malls and the different things. And it's a place, I think, for about 1,600 different lots there. It's a development. And it's a gated community. So, you know, not anybody's going to get in and out from outside, really. So he said, you know, so you don't have to worry about thieves, and you don't have to worry about this and that. And he showed me pictures of it. It's a very nice, very well planned, got a nice, it'd be a real nice community, I guess, if you know, from worldly standards was concerned, I guess. And I got to notice him, you know. I said, you know, he looked at this place, and he said, you know, this is what me and my wife would like to do. So he bought a piece of property there, and he commissioned somebody to build him a house. And they've been working on it since about, I don't know, maybe back in the turn of the year. And it's about time for him to move in. So he gave his notice to move, that he was moving and going to leave the company. And he's retirement age, so he's going to do that. And then I was over last night, and I just, you know how the Lord just kind of speaks things to you. And I was over there last night talking to Brother Miller. Brother Miller's got a very large picture window right in the front of his house there. And he began to explain how that his brother, I think it was telling him, said, you know, windows, when you put them in a house, there's a standard distance they're supposed to be down from the ceiling. And he said, you know, so, you know, he said, well, we kind of like a little bit lower than that, you know. And he said, I think we came down maybe another 3 inches or whatever. And, you know, we put this in there. And he said, after his brother left, they got to look at it, and he said, you know what, that ain't going to work. It's not low enough, because they're sitting on a hill, and they want to be able to look down the hill. They want to be able to sit in the living room and look down the hill at the deer and all the things like that. That window wasn't low enough, so they lowered it more. And so I just kind of smiled when I heard him, because what I'm pointing at is, you see, God will orchestrate things around you that speaks to you. And so I began looking. I said, you know, Brother Miller was building a house, and he had specific needs and specific things that he wanted in that. And that's the way he built it. Right. He wanted it to supply those needs. And so you find out that that's the way it works. And so when a man goes to build a house, he selects a site, he selects the location where he wants it, and he selects an orientation. He wants the house to sit, where it's going to be facing, where it's going to be, you know, if it's on a hillside or whatever. He selects those things. They're all for his purpose. He has to select the materials he's going to use, what he's going to build it out of. The whole design, sometimes the whole design will dictate a whole lot about what materials you're going to be able to use. And so, again, it's just part of what his purpose, but he has to select those things. In other words, these things have to be a choice by this one who's building this house. He chooses those things to meet his criteria. He chooses the construction methods, whether he's going to be using nails or screws, all that has to come together to fulfill his plan. And so what all of these things I'm speaking of, they meet his criteria. In other words, when he's building the house and you see the lumber truck come up and they deliver a delivery of lumber, you don't have to really question whether or not, is this right or whatever. These things that are being delivered, these materials are being brought on site. They're already past his selection. He's already done that. You know what I'm saying? I realize they could drop some lumber there and maybe a piece of board would be bowed or something and reject it. But the point I'm getting at is the materials, the blueprints, by the time that construction begins to work, all that's been done.
Yeah.
All that work has been done. The planning process has been there, taken care of, and it's time to come in and actually put the materials together. So it's all met his approval at that time. And the Bible tells us that if we're going to build, that we need to, first, before we do it, we need to stop and count the cost. We need to stop and count the cost of whether or not we would be able to finish the project. Because I think in the scriptures it actually refers to it as a tower. If a man wants to build a tower, and so he would build that. If he didn't have enough money and he started building it and he couldn't finish it, his friends would make fun of him, mock him because he didn't finish it. So the Bible lets us know that you must count the cost before you do that, so that you can finish it. So that if you start a work in that way, then you must finish that work in that same way. The Bible also tells us that when we build, we should build on a good foundation. Right? We find the parable where he says that if any man, if he will just hear the word of God and build his life upon the word, it's like a man building his house on a rock, because a man that builds his house on sand said a storm will come. And it indicates in scriptures not if a storm comes, but when that storm comes. That when it comes, that wind would beat upon that house and the rain would beat upon it. And, well, the house would fall because it was built on sand. But if someone would build it upon rock, then when that storm comes, it'll beat upon the house. It'll be tried. It'll be tested. Right. All kinds of things will come. That stuff will happen, but it will not fall. And so the scriptures tell us a lot of things about building, how we build things. Paul comes along and he said, we know that God used him to lay the foundation to the entire Gentile church. And I know I've heard it said people would say they're Christians, but they badmouth Paul. Gentile people that call themselves Christians but deny what Paul taught us and say it's not right. Well, my understanding of that is that if you're not on the doctrine of Paul, if you don't believe, and if you're not built upon that, you're not in the Gentile church at all. You're not in that building. You're somewhere else. Because you have to be built upon that. That's why you and I, in that dimension, when Brother Bram was over there, and he said, I want to see Jesus. And they said, well, you can't go, you can't see him now, but he'll come someday. And when he comes, he'll come to you. And you'll be judged. And if you're accepted, which you will be, and I'll throw that in there, because that was a dimension that was beyond sublime. That was a dimension where everybody was young, 90-year-old people back to young 19, 20-year-old people. There wasn't any pain, no sorrow. And in that dimension, there wasn't any lies.
Yeah.
Wasn't any mistruths and stuff over there. Everything. And in that dimension, they said, and so when Jesus comes to you, William Branham, you'll be tested and tried to see whether or not you were correct. You're judged. And if you're accepted, which you will be, so that's a true statement, then so will your people will be. And Paul said, Brother Bram said, does Peter and Paul and the different ones, they have to stand in that way? God judged them, and they said, yes, that's right. And so Brother Bram said, well, now he had a revelation. Brother Bram had a revelation that you must be built on this foundation that was laid by Paul. Brother Bram knew that he had to come and speak what Paul spoke. And if anything, it would be a further understanding of it, but it had to remain to be what Paul spoke, because if it wasn't, you'd be talking about a different building, a different process. And when he said that, he said, well, if Paul makes it in, then I will, because I haven't deviated from it one bit, what Paul taught. And when that statement was made in that dimension, all those millions of saints, converts of Christ underneath the ministry of William Branham shouted with one accord, we're resting on that. Now that speaks of a revelation that was in the heart of them people. That even in that dimension, and remember, we have to have that revelation here to have it there, because we don't change when we go there except just our dwelling places.
Right.
So that means that before we leave here, we have to have this revelation. There, they had a revelation that they could rest on the fact that William Branham preached the same thing Paul did and didn't deviate from it. Right? And we said, if our representation, we said, we're resting on that. So there's more to it than just saying, well, Paul. No, there's a revelation of that foundation, and that there were seven messengers that built on top of that, and God brought it right down to people today that be capstone. And that's the body of Christ. That's the Gentile believers, not somebody else.
Right.
But it had to be on that foundation that was laid by Paul. And so God tells us in His Word, there's a lot of things about building, constructing. He tells us, that foundation needs to be solid and needs to be built upon the Word of God. Otherwise, the storm will come and take it away. We understand that concept. And so we want to have a good foundation. You know, it's that's one place there's one place you don't want to skimp, and that is in the foundation, especially depending on the type of ground and stuff that's around. You want to make sure that foundation is appropriate for the conditions that you're in. And so we want to be able to build things exactly the way God said, according to His Word. And so, you know, the Scriptures tell us that if and except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it, right? And you could say, well, even in the natural. But, so I've talked all about this, about how we build houses, how we select it, what the purpose is, you know, how you can look at that and see the desire of the person's heart and what that is. And so I've said all that to get to our topic now. But God said, what house will you build me? In the Scriptures we read there, where Stephen was confronting, or was being confronted or whatever, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, religious people. The religious people that had, you couldn't touch them as far as their physical walk, as far as their crossing the T's and dotting the I's and that sort of thing. You couldn't touch their lives when it comes to the letter. But we know that they lacked the Spirit. But you couldn't touch their lives according to the letter. They were very good at doing this and saying, we're here. We're at the house of God. We're here every time. We do our part. You know, and not to speak against being at the house of God when the doors are open. We know we should be. But it's the thing that brings you to that is what we're talking about. And so those men, there, you couldn't touch them, but here they are, and Stephen is being confronted by them, and Stephen starts giving his sermon, and he goes back, and he just begins to talk way back, come forward in history, how that God established this, and He established that, and brought it all the way up. And at this point in the Scriptures here, where he reads this, he said, "What house will you build me, saith the Lord?" It's at that point that Stephen switched in his sermon and brought a rebuke. Right? Because the very next verse that we didn't read, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." Right. It was that point when he switched from just telling and laying the foundation of how God had brought them to where they are. And he switched in there, and of course, you know what they did. They stoned him for his what he had taught there. But God said, "What house will you build me?" And that's what I want to say to you this morning. If God was speaking that, and He is, what house will you build Him? Yeah. How are we going to make these decisions for God? How are we going to say, you know what, I believe God would like a house built right here, just facing this way, just so-so. And I think He would like the roof to be real steep or whatever. How are we going to make decisions like that?
Right.
Right? God said, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool." In other words, I'm sitting up here and I'm all this stuff belongs to me. You think you're going to come along and build something that's going to accommodate me? And it's not that He wouldn't want you to try or something like that. But He's making a point there. Because Stephen is standing here, he is being confronted with religious people, people who are all about form and formality, but they got a problem.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of form and formality, but they do not have Spirit. And so he is, and this is after the Holy Ghost has been poured out, so they could have had it. They could have had the Holy Ghost. It was available. But he is confronting them, or they're confronting him. And so he's speaking to people who's all about form and ritual and formality and looking right and acting the right part. They're all about that. But yet Stephen is contending with them with this gospel and telling them that in their condition, is with all this about being to church every time and looking right and acting right and praying the right way and all those kinds of things that look so religious, he's sitting here telling them, "You got a problem." And so, in other words, it's not in all that.
Right.
It's not in that all that ritual and formality. He's telling them that they actually are resisting the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen.
He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." So how would we build a house for God? How would we be able to, as a people? I don't care if it's one person or all the people in the world, could get together and one consensus come up with an idea. How could we possibly figure out what kind of house God would want, how to build it for Him, what it would be in a way that it would just suit Him just fine? How could we do that? And the answer is, we can't. The answer is, we can't do that. There's no way we can do that. In ourselves, we can't do that. And so that's the point God was trying to make here. And so He said, "He's stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." And so what am I getting at here is that God is the builder of His house, just like you'd be the builder of your house. You build a house to suit you just however you would want it. God is the builder of His own house. And when people become denominated and formalized, and even though they're ever so ritualized, in that, without the Spirit of God being behind that to drive that and bring that to the forefront,
right.
In other words, it's got to be the Spirit of God there doing it. You can't have fruits without the life. You got to have the life and then have the fruits. When that was the case, He was telling those people that when you resist the move of God, when you resist the Holy Ghost, you're resisting God trying to build His own tabernacle,
that's
build
right.
His own house. God wants to build His own house, and He is building His own house. But He's got a process in the midst of His people that's doing that building. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's called the Spirit of God leading and guiding and moving people. That Spirit of God in the midst of the people is what makes those things happen. And so these people were stuck in their rituals, and they did not want the Holy Ghost. They didn't want the gospel that was coming. And yet they had all these things. And so God is basically confronting them now and saying, "What house are you going to build me? How are you going to do this? Because you and your stance, you are resisting the Holy Ghost." He called them stiff-necked. Now someone with a stiff neck can't do this.
That's right.
Someone with a stiff neck has got very focused vision. They see right out in front of them, and they can't see to the side. In other words, they're very narrow in their vision, very narrow in their interpretation of Scripture, interpretation of gospel. It's my way or the highway. That's what that means, see? They're very, very limited in their amount of knowledge, and so they're not willing to expand to the horizons of the fact that maybe God, even though we know we've been living according to the law, we've been coming down through the ages with Moses and living according to the law and the prophets and all that, but perhaps, maybe, God is making a change and going in a further dispensation, and now He's going to pull away from the strictness of this do's and don'ts and the letter of all this. They couldn't see that God was fixing to open up to something other than law. So they were stiff-necked. And then Paul comes in and Stephen, he says, an uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Right.
An uncircumcised, just to make it real simple, it means, in the expression I want to give you this morning, it means still flesh. Still flesh in heart and in ears. So their desires, the things they wanted was not circumcised. It was still fleshly driven. Their ears, what they hear, was still fleshly driven. Or so that anything they come through, it come through a filter that was made up, was guaranteed to make sure that what you hear satisfied flesh. And so he's sitting here saying, listen, you might be ever so religious, but because you're resisting the Holy Ghost, where you're standing is that God builds His own house, and He's doing it by the Holy Ghost. You can't build it. He's here to do it, but you're resisting that process, and that you haven't even been circumcised in your own heart and your own ears. All you want is everything that you want to establish still ties back to flesh and the carnal desires of man, and the best that he can give is carnal. So I said, well, God, we could all get all the people of the world together, and even if we could all come to one agreement, here's what God wants. God's not in it.
Right.
Because the way it comes is through the Holy Ghost doing it.
That's right.
And if it's the Holy Ghost doing it, it's not flesh.
Right.
It'll only come through, you'll only hear God directing you in the right way when your hearing is circumcised.
Amen.
Because if it's not been circumcised, you won't hear it right. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And your heart will not perceive it right if your heart's not been circumcised. So it all goes back to one thing, that literal, real, genuine birth of God inside a person. And once that's there, they hear it right, they perceive it in their heart right, their focus is right, and guess what? Then when they put on all the works and they do all the zealous things, that's God doing it. And He dwells in that. But He doesn't dwell in it when man comes up with the idea himself and tries to focus. And you'll find out that when man does it, somewhere it's always off the Word. Because
right.
If it was always on the Word, God would be in it.
Amen.
God, you can't fool the Holy Ghost. And so, when He said, "What house will you build me?" I'll say that to us today. We're confronted with this every day in our life. We get up in the morning and our day is to serve God. Mm-hmm. And we can serve God one of two ways. We can say, "God, I'm going to die right here and let you come in. And I'll live for you today by your Spirit in me, pushing me out there and me doing..." Or you can jump into this suit you got hanging there and just throw a denominational idea on and here you go and head right on out and begin to express. But it won't be God expressing, though it's religious.
Right.
It's all back to that same thing. It's to having the Holy Ghost come into our hearts. Circumcise our heart and our ears, that we can see and hear and live that gospel the right way. And so, if you really listen to Brother Branham, if you go back and keep this in your mind, and you go listen to just about any sermon he preached all the way from the beginning to the end, you'll hear him constantly. He preached against bob hair. He preached a bit against the different things, women half dressed, and men being sissies, and all that stuff. You know all the things that he taught. And he had to do that for a reason. Because this is an age where people have been tricked by the devil to think that they are ready to meet God, that they have this born-again experience. And yet, Brother Branham knew that if the genuine Holy Ghost was there, there would be genuine manifestations of the Holy Ghost in a person's life. And those Holy Ghost manifestations, by no means, could be contrary to the Word. And when he could look to the Word and say that, see that the Word said, don't cut your hair, live modest, dress modest, and all the things, when he could look and see that in the Word, he could say, I don't care how religious these people are, that can't be the Holy Ghost, because if it was, it would line up with the Word.
Right.
And so he was confronted to be a messenger to an age that believed they were ready to meet God and even spoke in tongues and had spiritual gifts in the midst of them. And yet he knew that there was something wrong because the life, the things they were producing didn't line up.
Right.
As we read the other night in Ephesians, let no man deceive you. For because of these things, the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. Paul said that. Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked into believing that just because they're religious and all that, that the wrath of God does not come upon people who commit these things. Because, you know, if it's a rabbit, it's going to jump like a rabbit.
Right.
Right? But if it's small, it won't. You know what I'm saying? You might have something else that tries to imitate it. And so, Brother Branham had to do that. And so when he'd say, you women, his purpose was not to stand up there and say, now you sisters that's cutting your hair and you're putting makeup on, he by no means was trying to tell them, now you serve God, and the way you do that is you go home and you throw them scissors out, you throw that makeup out, and you'll be serving God. By no means was he saying that at all.
Right.
What he was saying was, the experience you're trusting in is not right, because it's not producing the right thing. He wasn't telling them to manufacture nothing. He was saying, get your heart right with God by letting that Holy Ghost come in. And when He comes in, you'll manifest the right thing.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
And I said, Thursday night it come to mind. It comes to mind again right now. It's always been out through the ages that when people, it's the heathens that would paint their face. It was the insane people who would undress themselves. Right? That's the way it is. It was insane people that would take their clothes off. When Brother Ram was there in Africa, and he preached to those people there, and he didn't preach clothesline religion or something like that. He preached one sermon called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever. He never said one word about how that them women had walked up there without clothes on on their chest. Because that's the way they lived over there. He didn't say one word about it, but it wasn't right with the Word of God for them to be that way. All he did was just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and he did that sign of a Messiah there in front of him. And that's all it took. They came into the presence of Almighty God that's what that gift was to do, was to usher that presence in there. And when they came into that presence of Almighty God, they did this and started backing away.
Amen.
The Brother Brandon said, I come here and I preach, and then I come back a year later, and there's more women doing it. And I'm not harping on you women, but you understand, women have more of an outward expression of it than what men do in that way. Men have expressions they should have too, but they covered themselves up and walked away, and when they come back that evening, they were covered. And he never said a word. Why? Because the right mind came to them. The right thinking came to them. When they got in the presence of God, the evil spirits that had them bound, which caused them to think that way and live that way, those evil spirits were driven off of them, and they came to their right mind. The right kind of thinking was the mind of Christ. And when that happened, they realized they were naked. They covered themselves. And so, what Brother Branham, back to what I was saying there, he wasn't telling people, well, you go do this and you go do that, and then you'll be serving God and it'll be genuine. What he was trying to tell people is you're trusting in a false experience, because the real Holy Ghost will manifest something better than this. That's what he was trying to tell. And so, when I'm saying here today, what house will you build me? I hear God saying the same thing. I hear God saying, don't try to build me a house yourself. Don't try to have works and all these things and manufacture anything yourself. Don't do that. But let me come in and I'll manufacture those things. I'll produce that through you. That's all you have to do, is just enter into that rest and let Him do it. Like we've heard that phrase before, that sheep don't manufacture wool. They just bear wool. It's not some mechanical process. You don't have to mechanically say, I'll stop cutting my hair. You know, the men, you don't have to mechanically say, I'll stop doing this or I'll stop doing that. You don't have to mechanically do anything.
Right.
You just enter into an experience of God and enter into rest with Him. And now He changes you, and you don't manufacture it. It just happens. He will change your life and make you live the way He wants you to. And so when that happens, you become an expression of God. He's chosen you, and He's building His house, and you are part of that house. He's making Himself visible through you. And so when Stephen said this, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Well, you understand they didn't like that, and so they rose up and they stoned him because of it. We read in the other scripture where it says that Abraham, he was looking for a city. And the scripture said whose foundation, builder and maker was God. You understand how God called Abraham out of his own people, out from his family. He called Abraham to separate. Now, there's a lot of people out there today that want to deny a genuine act of God in people's life. I know that. That's what the denominational world is all about. But if you look at the life of Abraham, which he is the father of faith of us all, God called him to separate from all that he was in the past. And in this gospel, those that doesn't declare it any other way, from the very beginning all the way through time till now, God was a God who called people to separate. Because if God wants people to see Himself in you, you've got to be different.
Right.
But He doesn't want you manufacturing that difference yourself. He wants to do it. He wants to build His house so that when people look at you as the body of Christ or the house of God, they see God there, but it's not something you manufacture, it's Him. And so God told Abraham, you come out. Separate yourself from your family. And it's just one process after another, until God brought him all the way. But you find out there that scripture, I just want to hover on that one part, that scripture where he said, Abraham looked for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Now Abraham was in that land and he could look at all kinds of cities, all kinds of places, all kinds of Amorites, Hittites and Jebusites, whatever, and all kinds of houses and all kinds of cities. And God had told him, I'm going to give you this land. Well, Abraham could have said, man, he's going to give it to me. I better go pick out which one of these cities I like the best. And he goes and he looks at the Hivites and the Jebusites and all their dwellings and like, well, which one do I want? That's not what he was doing. Because what? That was made by hands of man. But the scripture said Abraham was looking for a city that God built.
Amen.
Not the city that man made. And you know what? Abraham's children are the same way.
That's right.
Abraham's children, we don't want something that has been manufactured by man.
Right.
Whether it's a denomination, we don't want what we can manufacture for God. We don't want it. Saints, it's got to be one thing, and that's back to Him, back
Amen.
To that literal life of Christ in us, not anything else, right to that and that alone. And then when He speaks, it'll be Him speaking. And when He moves, it'll be Him moving. I heard Brother Ram say, he said, you know, he said, I really like to go places that I know God has told me to go to. When I go to a city to preach the gospel, I want God to be to. And Brother Ram said, he said, I've gone to a few places that He didn't tell me to go to. But you can tell by the way Brother Ram said it that it was all like risky business. Kind of risky. And this is what I want to bring us to. It's real risky for us to try and do anything. If we're talking about anything with God, which is our whole life, it's very risky for us to try and do anything without that mark of leadership of God in our life. We need to know that God has said, do this.
Right?
We need to know that He has said, go. Because when He has told us, it's in His Word, and He's told us, go do that. We feel that spirit, not an intellect. Not us just saying, well, I think, you know, and I'm going to, okay, I've come to a decision. No, that we have put it before God and we know in our Holy Ghost experience, God has spoke to us. And now we go do this. When you do it that way, that belongs to the house of God. That belongs to manifestation. Why? Because you're doing what He told you to do.
Amen.
And so that's a house that's being built for God. Now, I'm saying it that way because I want to bring it to some quotes I want to read to you. And you bear with me because it's a couple of pages. But this, because this is a sermon, Brother Ram preached a sermon called, What House Will You Build Me? And I'm saying this because he's in here rehearses a whole lot about how that he went to Tucson and how that Perry Green went to Tucson. And how that he waited for 3 years for a church and nobody would, just one man asked him to preach for him. And at three, can you imagine that? Could you imagine the gift of God that was in that man and what God was doing through that ministry for him to come to a town and none of the churches for 3 years, only one man asked him to preach? Can you imagine that? I'd say there was something spiritual going on there, a spiritual battle. But in all that, Brother Branham had to wait, he had to wait, he had to wait. He couldn't build a house for God. He couldn't start a church for God. He told him, I didn't come here to start a church. So he had to wait, he had to wait, he had to wait. But the point I'm getting at is I believe God wanted a house of God there. But Brother Branham couldn't build it. He knew God had to. God had to do it. No matter how much we are, oh, we do. You better wait on God.
Amen.
So God said, sit right here and wait. Brother Bram spoke of it in communion, the last sermon. He spoke of it again. He said, you know, we've waited 3 years. He said, but now we've got a church here. He said, God let us wait long enough that we can appreciate it. That's what he said. It's the last sermon that we have recorded. And so I'm saying all this to bring it down to this point that we It's risky business to do anything without hearing from God on it, very clearly. Saints, it's built on the move of the Holy Ghost. It's not built on how you can sit back and intellectually assess anything. It won't work. God never committed His church to a bunch of intellectual decisions of a group of men or even one man. It's not that way. It's by the Holy Ghost moving and moving in a direction. And of course, if He does, He'll make confirmations. He'll make things fit to vindicate that it's His work. And so that's the main thing I want to go with there as we enter into these quotes. This is, what house will you build me? Brother Graham had just quoted this scripture. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Haven't I built all these things? He also referred to the scripture that said, a body thou hast prepared me. And so, as soon as he finished that, he said, now, well, we realize, when he said, a body thou hast prepared me, he said, we realize that he's speaking of the body where God would tabernacle in Christ. And we know that. He said, but I believe today that the inspiration that come to Brother Green to move here, being in Tucson, and him and his sister Green, to give up their place back in the East, back in Texas, to come here and start with nothing, just simply by inspiration, feeling that they should do it. I appreciate men that will follow God's leading regardless of the cost. Regardless of what it'll cost them. So Brother Branham is speaking. Prior to this, Brother Branham said, look, he said, I come out here. He said, I left a church back at home in Indiana. A church that didn't need anything. They were prospering. All that was dear to me, he said, I had to leave that and come out here to the desert. He said, out here, I don't know of any place that's any more spiritually dead than right here. He said, the church is fussing. They fight with one another. And they're trying to proselyte one another. He said, wages are low and everything's cost a lot and it's hot. He said, why on earth God would call me out here to this place and suffer like I've never suffered before is what he said. And so he's early on, he presents that. He says, you know what? God had to call Moses, the writer of the First Testament, the Old Testament. God called that man to the desert to suffer that he could write the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he said, and then you find out the writer of the New Testament, Paul, God called him to the desert so that he could write the New Testament. And he said, if God did that for the Old Testament, did it for the New Testament, he said, then wouldn't he require the same thing when it comes time to open the seals, which will bring all that together and what it's all about? Right. Wouldn't he make that have to happen the same way? So he's letting you know, God made him come right out there and sat right there for 3 years in the desert, waiting. And during that time, he knew he couldn't start a church. He knew God had to. Now we're speaking, you realize that everything that happened with Brother Branham in the natural, just lots of stuff in his life, in the natural, the spiritual things that were being tied to it. And so this is what I'm looking at here. I'm not trying to talk to you about Tucson Tabernacle and Perry Green and all that. I'm speaking to you spiritual things. Here's what I'm wanting you to look at those things. And so, he said, I appreciate men that will follow the leading of Christ regardless of what it costs them. He said, though the whole world, and maybe even your very best friends, think that you're wrong, but it isn't wrong to you as long as you feel that there's something behind it, it's God moving you. And he said, it's never wrong, and it'll always pan out right. So now what he's showing there, that a man that'll follow the leading of God, regardless of what it cost him, he'll follow the leading of God, and your friends and your family and all people around you may look at you and say, this man is crazy. He said, but it's not wrong to you as long as you know there's something moving you behind it. It's God doing that, and it'll always pan out right. Now you realize he can't be talking to sinners saying that. We're talking to believers. He said, it'll always pan out right. And he said, in this young couple, talking about Brother and Sister Green, he said, talented young man. He said, I'm not saying it because he's sitting here. with this young lady, with her babies, their family to raise. He quit his job. He moved everything. And he said, I realized, Brother Branham said, I realized years ago when I was called into ministry that I'd never be a successful pastor because I've got a roaming, rambling spirit. I can't be satisfied anywhere. So Brother Branham said he couldn't be satisfied. He couldn't pastor a church there because he had a roaming spirit. And he tells why. He said, I have a roaming spirit. And he said, I'm not satisfied anywhere. Just wherever the Spirit moved me, I just got to move with it because I have a message. And Jesus said, I must preach this city and other towns also. So Brother Ram's saying, I couldn't be pastor. I got a different calling. I got a different thing. I wouldn't be here tending to the sheep. He goes on to say, he says, but there are those who are shepherds that watch the flock. And I'm so grateful that Brother Perry followed the leading of the Holy Ghost. And today, we have a tabernacle. So he attributed that leadership of the Holy Ghost in Perry Green to leave Texas and come out there and open that church. He attributed that and said that was the leadership of God. And he actually said, I believe that. And he said, now, because of that, now we have a tabernacle. In other words, now we've got a house of God. He didn't build it. But the Holy Ghost moved, and it got built because the Holy Ghost moved. Sure, God could have moved upon him, but it would have been contrary to his own calling, Brother Branham. But God moved and he said, now we've got a house. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Even if you're the most spiritual person in the world, you can't get ahead of God. You've got to let it be done by the Holy Ghost. Yep. So don't ever lay your intellect to the wheel. Whether it's a decision, whatever. You want to decide about going to up here to the passion parade. Pray. Don't put your intellect to it. You see what I'm saying? Everything. The level that you can give it to God, that's the level of God you're going to get back in your life. And Him helping you make decisions the right way. And so, he said, there are those who are shepherds. Watch the flock. We've got a tabernacle. He said, now, it's a small one. If that's good enough to start with, we'll see what the Holy Spirit, what He'll do. He said, we're not knowing. He said, we'll just move step by step. And he said, now I believe it had, that if God has spoken to Brother Perry and Sister Green to come here, I believe that he has, and has opened this place where our children, instead of on Sunday, now listen, because I don't think, you want me to tell you the truth?
Amen.
I don't think people should be setting out. I think people need to be gathered around the Word. And I'm going to show you the prophet in his desperation right here in this message. He said, you've got to come together to worship God.
Right.
Not saying you can't worship God in your closet. You've got to have that too. Not saying you can't worship God in your lunch hour. You've got to do that too. You can have that. But you can't leave out the one part that he says you do have to have in there. And so I don't think that it's good for us to hit and miss. I think we should be very, 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 as you'll hear him say here in just a moment as I read it. He says, let me find where I was at. He said, we have a place here, and if God has spoken them, come here to open this place, where our children, instead of on Sunday morning riding their bicycles and on the street and running around, to have a place to come to worship. Instead of us sitting around and listening to something that we've heard on radio, which is all right. Which is all right. He wasn't condemning listening to something off the radio or whatever. But he was saying, instead of us sitting at home and listening to something, there's people that sit at home and listen to tapes. That's their form of church. He said, instead of sitting at home and listening to something, see, it was important to the prophet. It was important to him that God establish a church. And then once that church was established to go there, that was a house that God had built for himself. And it was our duty, is what he's telling us, the duty of the people. You go there, you be in that house. You support it. Because otherwise, if you're not, your children sit at home and they ride their bicycles on the street. They're not in Sunday school. You're sitting listening to something halfway. Because it's never, if it's not a sanctified and holy gathering, it's never going to be what it would be if it's in church. There'll always be some interruption, some, you know, whatever, get up and go get your drink out of the refrigerator while we're taking plan, and you miss something. Phone rings, you miss something. It's never. We've got to sanctify our time and our efforts to what God's doing.
Amen.
And get in the midst of that. And when God builds something, get into what He's building. And so He comes along and He says, instead of them riding and us listening to something, He said, that's okay. He said, but we, this group of people, we have a message for this day. We believe God has given us a message. And Brother Green, he preaches the same thing, same message, I believe. And he's left his home, he's left his people, he's left his church, and he left everything that was dear to him and come to the desert to support what God has given us now. Brother Branham made the connection. He actually made the connection. He said, I left and came to the desert, and why on earth I'm here and is suffering that way? And he said, you know what? God spoke to that man, caused him to come here under the same condition, and now God's got a place here for us. So here's what Brother Ram said about that place, about that worship, that place of worship. Just to support what God is doing. Brother Perry had come here just to support what God was doing now. And he said, I believe it's not only should be in our hearts, it should be our duty to back him up everything that we can to attend the services, to come to worship, and to make this place, to make this a place where God can reveal the things that He wants to reveal through us. Reveal. Actually, he says, things that he has for us to reveal is the way he said it. It's hard. Some sentences are hard to follow there. And so he says, I know that each one of you, if you feel like I do, I am so hungry to see the Spirit of God move. I just can't hardly stand it. Some experiences I just had on the mountain, just to feel that once again. So he'd had some serious things happen, you know, and marriage and divorce had been revealed to him, and what house and that was. But he said, these things had just happened on the mountain to me. He said, just to feel that once again. That's something that when I was first saved, that was so glorious to my heart. See, Brother Ram begins to speak what? He begins speaking of that original experience where Christ is still really true to you. Yeah. And he just, your heart's on fire for Him. Just burning for Him. Just in such a deep fellowship. Like it was when you first met your spouse and your heart was just aflame. That's what he's talking about. He said, I had some stuff on the mountain, and just to be in that again. Yeah. That's what he's longing for. He said, I'm so hungry for the Spirit of God to move. This is what a prophet, within just a few months of his leaving, was telling us. That, you know, we want to come together so that that experience is in our midst. And he goes on to say that here. He says, just to feel that once again, that's something that when we first were saved, that was so glorious to my heart. And he said, and we can come into a place and we can see, and we can set, and we see it among us. So that was his desire, that these special experiences, that we had a place we could come and set, and we could see that working among us. That presence of God moving in the midst of us. That's what he was saying. Yeah. We could have that among us. You go listen to the tape, you'll hear it too. Brother Ram said, it's become too natural a thing to us. Coming to church, serving God, it's become too natural of a thing to us. We must worship in spirit, where the Spirit of God is. It not only in our message, it should be the flame of our heart, but it should be the not just the flame of the hour, but it should be the flame of our heart. See, it's got to be within our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people. The Spirit has to pack the message itself. Catch that statement. The Spirit has to pack the message itself. We won't even rightly express it to the people if the Spirit of God's not what packs it. You can't pack it in formality. It's got to be back to that genuine, burning heart of presence of fellowship of God in us that puts us out there to winning souls to Christ. That's where it has to be. And that's where it's going back to. That's exactly where it's going back to. We don't want to be quickened. We wouldn't be, I don't think, to go off and be standing over there in eternity with some kind of carnal, denominational, message church system mentality. We want to sit over there in the kingdom of God with Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we want to mean. And so, he said, we must worship the Spirit of God, where not only that the message is in our heart, not just the message hour, but it's in our heart also, and then, because we can't rightly project it. He said, now, Brother Green, God has sent him here to open up a church of like precious faith that we have, and we ought to be very grateful to God and attend every service, take every place that we can. If we're asked, called upon to pray, to seek, to do, let's be soldiers, right at it, just anxious to do it. Keep the message honorable. Live the right kind of life. Don't let any smut come upon it. We're living too late now. We're living late hour. Let's just live clean. Oh, my life, your life, all of our lives needs to be picked up before God. Our young people, now listen to what he says here. Our young people, just riding around from place to place, from show to show, drifting further away from God. That's right. Now that's the truth. I see it in my children. I see it in myself. Brother Randy even said to himself, why? Because it's an age that's pressing upon the people. It's an age to do this, and it's pressing, and it presses the church, and even he felt the pressure of it. And so, Brother Randy, the children are just drifting further. He said, I see it in my children. I see it in myself getting to that place. He said, we've got to assemble ourselves together to worship God. The Bible said so. When we see this day approaching, that much more come together. And if there's only two people here, you'd be one of them.
Right.
And he said, now if we come together to worship, then there's just something about it. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. You really hear that promise? You hear that promise?
Yeah.
Where you make the effort to join together in one place, in one accord, and there's two of you, then he said, I'm there in the midst. Guaranteed. Brother Ren said, there's just something about doing that. That when you do that, God comes.
That's right.
And I'm sharing all this, and I will tell you the same thing. I don't want you doing anything that's in yourself. I want you to do it because the Holy Ghost has brought it to you for you to express that. But I also want to encourage you, exhort you, and let you know we live in an hour where Satan is dead set to keep you from letting the Holy Spirit move upon your life. You've got to fight that thing. You've got to stand and look that thing in the eye and call it for what it is. And if you have to take the desire that you have for Christ and all the things that want to hinder that, and you've got to do battle with that and put that in its place and say, God, I want you to have control. That's what we want. Let's bow our hearts and brothers. Musicians come. Lord Jesus, if it were not for your truth delivered in this hour, Lord, we wouldn't know where we stand. We wouldn't even recognize this hour that we live in to be the battle that it is and the deception that's in it. We wouldn't even recognize it, Lord. But because of your grace and mercy, your presence come. We now see, Lord, that we have a tremendous time. Had it not been for this truth, Lord, we would look out and say, what's the use? But Lord, because of the promises and the truth that you've given us now, we realize that you have a people that can stand toe to toe. Lord, just pull up right to that place they should be. Stand firm, Lord. I ask God that you would help us with that. Lord, each one of us fighting a battle, we know that. We know we fight a battle. It's hard to press. But I pray, God, that you would impress upon us the needfulness, Lord, to surrender our own thinking and our own ways and our own ideas and really seek you, Lord. That if you would speak to us, God, and tell us what we should do, Lord, that we'd be willing to bear that reproach, even if our friends and loved ones and family would say that we have lost our mind, Lord, we do it because we know it's your leadership. Lord, we want to be that house that you live in. We realize it must come by your leadership. And I pray, God, that you would give us the right perspective from this day forward on how to serve you
that there is real, true, zealous works that are expressed, but only because the Holy Ghost is in us expressing them. We ask God that you would give us that kind of grace in this hour to walk, Lord, because we want to walk through this age and we want to come out the other side without a spot or a wrinkle of this age on us. And we realize, Lord, we need a tremendous and greater level of something in our lives if that's going to happen. So we ask God that you give us deep sincerity. Lord, not just to be sincere as we're in this house now, as we come to the house of God at church time, but Lord, a sincerity that drops into our hearts and won't let us rest at night, Lord, until we surrender all parts of our life to you. Lord, if your prophet said we'd be a rugged people, well, Lord, I know I need to be closer to you. I need to tighten up the belt. Lord, I want to be what you would have me to be in this hour. Meet the challenge that comes my way. And I know, Lord, that you have it there for your people, for each one of us to grow in that way. And I ask, God, that you provide that for us now. Lord, we commit this time, this time of fellowship that we've had around your word into your hands. I ask that you be with us as we travel. Bless every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Thinking yesterday as Ben and I were going somewhere, and he mentioned something about a Muslim playground, I guess a school or whatever. It's Muslim. They have a thing out in the middle of the playground there that's about the size of a truck, and it's a little bitty thing that looks like a mosque or whatever. They have it right out there. I got to thinking about how dedicated, how zealous those people are. And broad is the gate that leads to destruction. How narrow it is. You'll find religions all over this world that are a whole lot more zealous than you and I are. Why? Because broad. They don't have the bullseye. They don't. They do not have the bullseye on their back. Satan is fine with them. But there's one thing, anywhere, if you could search the whole world and find a movement where the Holy Ghost, in that movement, gets the Holy Ghost into the hearts of people,
That's where you'll find it. And so it's a narrow pathway that leads to that. And so that's why you fight so hard. That's why you have to struggle so hard to fight the spirits. That's why sometimes when you come to church and you have a hard time getting in, it's because of that right there, because Satan is there. Those people don't have a problem when it comes time to go in over there. How many back in denominations ever had a hard time when you went to the denominational church? You went right in there, you sat down, and it was whatever. You didn't fight like you do now. But fighting like you do now is not because of your brothers and sisters.
Right.
Fighting like you do now is because Satan don't want you to have partakers of that genuine move of the Holy Ghost
in
your
life. Right.
Even if you have come in contact with it, he wants to stifle it. That's what the difference is. And God's got a people, and I believe we are that people. That's why we're fighting. Fighting for our life. And don't be surprised if, spiritually speaking, God hadn't called us to a place where we feel like we're sitting in a desert. Right? Just waiting on the Lord. Each one of us in our own walk come through places where we walk for a while and we have to trust God, and we walk for a while and we have to trust God until finally God moves and shows us what He's doing. We all come through that. I know. And so we want to just continue to believe and trust God and all that and fight that good out of faith. Pray for someone. Look around the room right now. Just pick somebody out and say, I'm going to pray for that person this week. And I guarantee you, that person, whether they know it or not, they will appreciate it if they knew. And remember Brother Miller, Sister Miller, they're precious to us. That we just pray for them, that God would help them in their fight. I'm going to tell you what, when that testimony is done, that's something was said. He said, you know, when I walk down there to Honduras, he said, I'm pretty sure when I walk off that airplane, and I'm pretty sure that's going to create quite a stir. I think that's the way he said it, right? And my wife and I both kind of chuckled and said at the same time, brother, it's going to cause a stir everywhere,
yeah.
Not just in Honduras. If we can believe that. I know, the little thought back there, you know it ain't going to happen. Yes, it will. It will. If people will just endure long enough, and Brother Miller with his testimony, her testimony, they're enduring, they're fighting that fight of faith, you watch what happens. You watch it. It's not the first time that it's happened. But let's join together and pray for our brother, because you know what? He is one of us.
Amen.
Amen. He is one of us. The Lord will provide them. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Open the eyes of my